Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina wa Habibina wa Mawlana Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'du fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Qala la tathrib 'alaykumul yawm yaghfirullahu lakum wa huwa arhamur rahimin. Wa qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فإني أقول لكم كما قال يوسف لإخوته لا تثريب عليكم اليوم اذهبوا فأنتم الطلقاء أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. We often hear the saying, big people have big hearts. And we use it, we are aware of the application of it. There are many ahadith of the many ayat of the Quran and Majid, ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that support this message of having a big heart, a heart which is forgiving, a heart which doesn't keep grudges, doesn't harbor enmity. However, today I want to add to the statement and to the saying, and the next part of the saying is that big hearts achieve big things. If a person wants to achieve something big in life, if he wants to do something remarkable, if he wants to achieve something big in the akhirat, achieve a big jannat, then in order to achieve that, he has to have a big heart. There are many examples of this in our history, starting from Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, right till recent history, of people who did big things in life. They had big achievements, but that big achievement was because of the big heart that they had. So that made them big people, and they could achieve those big things that they achieved in their life. We will try and discuss or touch on 5 examples of people who achieve big things in life, but it was by and large because of the big-heartedness that they had. The most glaring example is the example of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that appears in the Quran and Majid. A very remarkable incident, a very lengthy story. We don't have the time to go into the story, but just this part here, which is of relevance to our topic, the part of having a big heart. Imagine from being a young boy, he was oppressed by his brothers. They had showed him hostility, enmity, jealousy, planning and plotting against him, his own blood brothers, plotting against him, even contemplating killing him, putting an end to his life. Finally, they take him, throw him into the depths of a well. So that will be the end of the story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And so that now we will get the full attention of our parents. Our parents will not have him there to show the love towards him. Then he's taken out from the well, sold as a slave. And then after some time, he's imprisoned. Such a lengthy period of separation from his parents. A lot of similarities between the plight of the Syrians, what they went through, being taken out of their homes, separation from their families, thrown into dungeons, into prisons. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam went through all of this. And then finally Allah gave him that glory. Now he is the finance minister of Egypt. And there's those same brothers who did all of this to him. Decades of so-called misery in our terms, as a result of these brothers and their enmity and their jealousy. And they are at his mercy. For the first 2 times he doesn't even expose to them who he is. And then finally, when the situation demanded that now he needs to expose to them, and then he asked them, do you know who I am? We're not going through the whole incident. Finally, when now they realize that we were the ones at fault. We thought that we will bring him down. And this is another lesson, that sometimes we may have grudges for a person. We may have enmity for that person, plotting and planning against him, thinking that we're going to bring that person down. We only bring our own selves down. We won't bring that person down. Until finally, they realize and they beg for the mercy of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. What was the response of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam at that time? He had all the power, all the might, all the authority to do whatever he wanted to do at that time. But his response, as we said, big people have big hearts, and big hearts achieve big things. That big person, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the big heart that he had, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم, there is no blame on you today. Forget no revenge. No revenge, that's a given. No blame also. Forgiven and forgotten. We say, no, he's forgiven but not forgotten. He is forgiven and forgotten. No blame whatsoever. لا تثريب عليكم اليوم يغفر الله لكم. May Allah forgive you. وهو أرحم الراحمين. Later on, when his father and his parents and the entire family come to Egypt on his invitation, and now he is sitting on the throne with his parents on the throne, and he is giving the report of his life. He's giving the report of his life to his father. What does he say? How does he summarize the report? Because he's going, a lot of his life was linked to the brothers and what they did to him. Mainly there were three chapters in his life. The first chapter was the enmity of his brothers. The second chapter was him being distanced from his family. And the third was thrown into prison. Now when he's giving the report, the beginning was his brothers. The beginning was what the brothers did to him. And because of that, the next chapters followed. Because of the enmity of the brothers. But what does he say? He says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. Allah has been so kind to me. A lifetime of difficulty. But his words to his father, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي. Allah has been so kind to me. This was the moment now of his glory, of his victory. He's saying, Allah has been so kind. Respected friends, there's no point in continuously remembering the difficult times that we went through. Look at the positive side of life. وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي. Allah has been so kind to me. إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ. That Allah took me out from the prison. That's the last part. The prison was the last part. He's speaking about that. Allah has been kind to me, that Allah has taken me out from the prison. وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدْوِ. And Allah brought you from the village. That was another chapter, difficult chapter. The separation between him and his parents and his family. Such a lengthy separation. He doesn't say, Allah separated me from you. He says, Allah has favored me, that Allah brought you out of the village life and brought you to the city. That's a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, obviously, he will have to discuss the part with regards to his brothers. But how he discusses it? مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. After shaitan had caused enmity between me and my brothers. That's how he summed that chapter out, or that chapter up. That was the main part. That was the beginning of everything. He doesn't say, you know what y'all did to me, and y'all did this to me, and y'all did this to me. So much of difficulty and misery I had to go through because of y'all. He sums it up in this way. مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. My brothers were good people. It was shaitan that caused the problem. So he summed it up. Shaitan was the one who caused the enmity between me and my brothers. Now this is a big person. And this is the big heart that he has. And because of this big heart, a person can achieve big things. Then, another very glaring example is the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the occasion of the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah. Again, what not did the kuffar of Makkah do to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where did they fall short in persecuting him, in harming him, in causing difficulty to him? They tried every possible way to harm Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 13 years of persecution in Makkah Mukarramah. 13 years of persecution. What not happened in that duration? The boycott in the Shi'b of Abu Talib, in the valley of Abu Talib, and the insults and the physical abuse and all the difficulties that Rasulullah ﷺ had to suffer at the hands of the people of Makkah Mukarramah for 13 years. Then he is expelled from Makkah Mukarramah that was so beloved to him. Innaki la habbul biladi ilayya. You are the most beloved city of all to me. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to Makkah Mukarramah when leaving, if it wasn't that the people, that your people have taken me out, I would have never left Makkah Mukarramah. So beloved, so much of attachment. Again, the Syrians, we shocked to see how they're going back so quickly. The attachment that they have to that land. And they were distanced from that land for so long. Also many of them for a period of 13 years, they were distanced from that land. So, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the attachment that he had to Makkah Mukarramah, expelled from that land. Then 6 years of hostility, of fighting, of attacks. His beloved uncle is made shaheed. So many of his close people were made shaheed at the hands of these same people, these kuffar of Makkah Mukarramah. Rasulullah ﷺ himself had to suffer. Physically, he was injured. All these difficulties. And now in the 8th year after Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is marching towards Makkah Mukarramah with an army of 10,000 sahaba radiallahu anhum. That was that glorious moment when people would think that now it's a time to take revenge. And as they are approaching Makkah Mukarramah, Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu an, who was one of the leaders of Madinah Munawwara, one of the leaders of Ansar, who assisted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam throughout these 8 years, now thinking that today is a different day. So he says, Al-Yawmu Yawmul Malhama. Today is a day of war. Al-Yawmu Tustahallul Ka'bah. Today the Kaaba will be made halal. Meaning normally the area around Kaaba is sanctified. No fighting happens there. Today they will be fighting right in the precincts of the Kaaba. Abu Sufyan hears this. Who was Abu Sufyan? The arch enemy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam before he became Ishabi radiallahu an. He was the one who led many of those campaigns against Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He complains to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is what Sa'ad bin Ubadah is saying. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds to Abu Sufyan, Ya Aba Sufyan, al-yawmu yawmul marhama. Just changing one letter, Malhama is changed to Marhama. Today is a day of mercy. Today is not a day of war. Today is a day of mercy. Yawmun yu'azzimu Allahu al-Kaaba. Today is a day in which Allah will honor the Kaaba. That Kaaba, around which 360 idols were there, shirk was taking place. Today that Kaaba will truly be sanctified. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam removed Sa'ad bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu from the position of being the leader of that battalion that he was leading, and he replaces him with his son. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives instruction to the sahaba radiallahu anhum, no fighting, you don't initiate any fight. If there is an attack, you will counter the attack, but there's no initiation from your side. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes in, lengthy incident, with his head Mubarak lowered. Lowered very low as if he's making sajda. Hazrat Mufti Mahmud Sahib rahmatullah alayhi beautifully summarizes the entry of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fatihana Makki aye, sarjukaye chashme nam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered Makkah Mukarramah as a victor. He came in as a conqueror. Sarjukaye. But his head Mubarak was lowered. There was no arrogance. There was no pride. Chashme nam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's eyes were tearing. Aman ka elan hua. And then there was a general announcement of amnesty. Nadim huwe ahle watan. And the people of Makkah regretted all the hostility that they had shown to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So entered with utmost humility. Utmost humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went in the precincts of the Kaaba. 360 idols were broken. We're seeing the idols in Syria being broken, the statues being broken. The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. 360 idols were broken. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives a khutbah. A historic khutbah. This is the conqueror's speech, inaugural speech. If it is anyone else, it will be filled with pride, filled of revenge. That would have been the words. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a big heart. As we said, big people have big hearts. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. There is none worthy of Allah besides Allah. There is none worthy of worship besides Allah. He has no partners. صدق وعدا. Allah has fulfilled His promise. What we seeing today in Syria is the fulfillment of the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not doubt it because of other things, other factors. There's a whole political discussion behind it. But it is the promise of Allah that Allah will put an end to zulm and oppression. And Allah has shown it to us. Sadaqa wa'ada. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fulfilled His promise that He made to me. Wa nasara abda. And Allah has helped His servant, His slave. The word He's using as well. He could have said, Nasarani, Allah help me. He says, Nasara abda. Allah has helped and assisted His slave. Calling Himself a slave in this moment of victory, in this moment of authority and so-called what would have been pride, calling Himself a slave. وَهَزَمَ الْأَحْزَابَ وَحْدًا. And Allah alone destroyed the enemy. Not that we will say, no, Allah did it, Allah helped us, but you know, we also work very hard. We have to put our 2 cents in there. He says that هَزَمَ الْأَحْزَابَ وَحْدًا. Allah alone did it. Allah alone destroyed the enemy. And then He addresses these people. Those same people that 13 years of persecution in Makkah Mukarramah, expelling him from the most beloved land to him, the most beloved city to him. 6 years of hostility whilst he was in Madinah Munawwarah. They didn't say, never mind, he's gone, let's leave him. They continued the hostility. Those same people are standing in front of him at his mercy. And he addresses them and he says, Ya ma'ashara Quraysh, O gathering of Quraysh, Ma taruna anni fa'ilum bikum. What do you think I'm going to do to you? What do you feel? What's your feeling in how I'm going to treat you? They knew Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So their response was, Akhun kareem, wabnu akhin kareem. You are a noble brother and the son of a noble brother. You have such nobility. Your heart is so big, you won't take revenge. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to them, فَإِنِّي أَقُولُ لَكُمْ مَا كَمَا قَالَ يُوسُفُ لِإِخْوَتِهِ. I will respond to you in the exactly same way Yusuf alayhi salam responded to his brothers. The same response will be my response. What's that response? لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. There is no reproach against you today. I won't harbor anything against you. And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam went on, Idhabu fa antum at-tulaqa. Go, you are all free. Go, you are all free. These reports of the exactly same words have come from Syria. Those people that were fighting them for so long, Idhabu, they used the exactly same words. Idhabu fa antum at-tulaqa. Go, you are all free. Obviously Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam excluded certain people. Those that were notorious, those that had did certain crimes, and they needed to pay for those crimes of theirs. 15 to 16 people were excluded by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what we're seeing today as well, where certain people are being excluded because of the war crimes that they committed, because of all the atrocities that they had meted out, those, that is also in keeping with the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this was the example of Yusuf alayhi salam, the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then we go to Salahuddin al-Ayyubi rahimahullah, that great liberator of Masjid al-Aqsa, on that momentous occasion of liberating Masjid al-Aqsa, after 88 years of occupation, 88 years of occupation at the hands of the Crusaders. When the Crusaders entered Baytul Muqaddas, then they had committed the worst type of atrocities. Such an extent that even Western historians record that the blood of the Muslims reached to the knees of the Crusader horses. Innocent infant children. What we're seeing, children being killed. It's nothing new for these people. They did it in the past. Innocent infant children will be held by their legs and thrown against a wall and killed in that way. and the people were butchered. There were heaps and piles of Muslim bodies. That was when the Crusaders came and occupied Masjid al-Aqsa. 88 years later, when Salahuddin Ayyubi rahimahullah now comes in as a liberator, the Crusaders were very frightened that he is going to repeat the atrocities that we had done to him and to them, to the Muslims. So they come and they request a peaceful surrender. The incident again is very lengthy, but this is the gist of it. Salahuddin rahimahullah finally, he agreed that I will spare your lives, and you need to pay ransom. A very small amount of ransom was stipulated, and they had 40 days also to pay that ransom. And in the meantime, Salahuddin rahimahullah appointed policemen to ensure that no one interferes with any non-Muslim, any Christian. Their life won't be interfered with. Their property won't be interfered with. Coming in after 88 years of occupation, not forgetting what they did in the initial time when they came in. And then Salahuddin rahimahullah, after these 40 days, many of them couldn't even pay the ransom. The wealthy among them refused to pay for the poor. Salahuddin rahimahullah's brother from his side came forward and he said, I will pay for 1,000 crusader Christians. I will pay the ransom for them. Then those crusaders who had the wealth, they felt embarrassed that if a Muslim is paying for them, we also have to pay. There were so many women, widows, that could not afford, to pay that ransom. Salahuddin rahimullah freed them, allowed them to go for free. And those that were widows and did not have husbands, Salahuddin rahimullah, from his personal wealth, he took out money and he gave them. Who can do this? Only that person who has before him the beautiful example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam entering Makkah Mukarrama. An English historian has written, he says, the victorious Muslims were known for their uprightness and humanity, while the Franks for 88 years had been wallowing in the blood of their enemies. He says, when the Muslims enter, no house was exposed to plunder and no individual was harmed. So this again is an example of a person who is a big man, who has a big heart. As we said in the beginning, and we're repeating this, big people have big heart, and big hearts achieve big things. In order for Salahuddin rahimullah to liberate Masjid al-Aqsa, it is no ordinary task, it was a great task. In order to do that, he needed to have that big heart. Respected friends, the examples continue up till today. A few years ago, in August 2021, when we saw Afghanistan falling to the Mujahideen, to the Taliban, people began to question, how this happened overnight? How it happened overnight? This doesn't seem to be true. Again, one of the secrets was the big-heartedness that these people had. Go today, when they took over, it was general amnesty. General amnesty. Hamid Karzai, who was the first president elected after the American invasion, is living comfortably in Kabul today and moving around there. Moving around comfortably. So this is a big heartedness that they have. If you visit the Ministry of Orphans, in the list of orphans is not only those children that became orphans, orphans to those that were fighting in their ranks. The enemy ranks, those that were killed, their children are also regarded as orphans, and they also receive a grant from the government. Those that fought against us, their children also. Many people that fought against them are still working within their system. They are working with them, working in the different departments. In fact, when they took over, there were salaries that were outstanding, that the previous regime did not pay those staff. They made sure they paid all those outstanding salaries as well. One younger person, when we asked him, how this all happened so quickly? He explained to us, he says, our seniors, because of their wisdom, whenever we were engaging and we were engaging in battle, because we were fighting fellow Afghanis who are under the NATO and under America, he says, when we would capture them, he says, with so much of difficulty we will capture them, our seniors will go to their family members and speak to them and say, see, this family member of yours, this son of yours, this grandson of yours, he has been captured fighting against us. If you give the guarantee that he will not join the army again, we prepare to release him. We prepare to free him. And then they would give the guarantee. He says, we were forced to release. It was very difficult for us. And he says, sometimes a few months later, we will see the same person fighting against us again. But he says that happened. When finally we started closing in onto them, then those people understood that there's another route that we have in dealing with these people. And the route is, if we surrender, our lives will be safe. And because of that, very, very quickly, Allah gave us victory right at the end. Again in Syria, we are confused how it happened in 11 days. First of all, it wasn't 11 days. The 13 years that they were at war, we wouldn't even have the time to worry about our Syrian brothers and sisters and what they were going through. All the difficulties that they went through, we were not concerned about it because the media wasn't giving coverage. So when the media didn't give coverage, we felt there's nothing happening. All of a sudden, 11 days, too good to be true. But it was the same concept, the same strategy, that same big-heartedness, where they always kept that route open, that if you want to surrender, you can hand over, you can surrender. And in this way, very quickly, that help came from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before this, there were so many factions among them, and they had to unite between the different factions. And the hostility between these factions was so severe that at times they were fighting against each other. The revolutionary group, they were fighting against each other for many years, and they united. Again, there was another benefit or another secret to their strength, the unity that they had, to such an extent that they speak about two groups, Hayatul Tahrir al-Sham and Jaishul Islam. They say that people said these people will never be able to see eye to eye, and today they're meeting and hugging each other. Why? Again, the point in the beginning, big people have big hearts, and big hearts achieve big things. Respected friends, if we also want to achieve big things in our life, if we want to prosper in our dunya and our deen, not only deen, in dunya as well, if a person harbors grudges and he continues being stagnated with one or two problems that he had with someone, I had a problem, inheritance problem, and you know my brother did me down, and he carries on and on and on, he will remain in that misery of his, he won't progress in life. Yes, try to sort it out, but move on, move beyond that, look forward and see how you will progress in your dunya as well. And like this in so many other relationships of ours, whether it be in our marriages, small issues, and we stuck on those issues. You know, but she told me this, her father told me this, I can't forgive it. If we can't forgive it, then that marriage is never going to work. Then our children are going to suffer. So big people have big hearts. If we want to achieve big things, we have to learn how to let go of those grudges that we have, whether it be in business, whether it be in our families, whether it be in our communities, whether it be locally or globally. The ummah will have to learn to, in order to achieve big things, we have to have big hearts. And we have such beautiful examples before us. The example of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the example of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and all great people in the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq and the ability to have this kind of heart, this generous heart, this heart which is forgiving, this heart which is forgetting, that let go of grudges for the bigger picture of the ummah, for the bigger picture of our family, for the bigger picture of our marriage. Let us give up these grudges, and inshallah we will find that we will achieve big things in this world, apart from the great rewards that are promised in akhirat. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadi wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.